Beautiful. Why don't we give the creative team a huge round of applause? You may be seated. Beautiful worship, guys. How you doing? Turn to the person next to you and say, "You look incredible." Say it like that too. So good to have you here this morning. I'm going to jump into our, before I jump into, I just want to pray for one other person. We've got an amazing lady in our church. Her name is Jo Garcia. She runs all our, for all our youth, we've got a youth Bible study group heading out that way. So if you're young and youthful, head out there. Okay, sit down, Yuli. A few other people are going to jump up and go. But let me start by praying. I want to pray for Joanne Garcia. She's actually right now at hospital with her mum, who is literally, the doctors are saying could pass away any day. So we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for that family. So why don't you just close your eyes. God, we just believe in your presence. We believe in your power. God, I pray that right now in that room where she is, God, that you would just fill it with your peace, with your grace, with your mercy, God, and with your comfort. God, be with Joe and her family. Father God, for her mum right now, God, we just pray that your presence, your spirit would just settle on her, God. God, fill that room. God, let that room just be filled with your life and your light. God, we just pray right now you would strengthen Joe and Bill and the whole family, God. Strengthen them this morning. Speak into their spirits, God. Encourage them. Hold them, God, with your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, all right, I'm going to start a new series this morning. So if you're visiting with us, there you go. You're at number one. I'm going to talk about getting set free. The reality is there's so many things that can ensnare our lives and keep us contained. And obviously we know the enemy's strategy is to pretty much do that. God's strategy is to bring life and liberty. Jesus touched down on earth to bring healing, liberty, set captives free, to speak healing and wholeness over us, to fill our lives with purpose, to give us direction, to give us a meaning to live. And the enemy, of course, is doing anything and everything the opposite. He's trying to ensnare you, enslave you, capture you, bring you into desolation, complicate your life. He's trying to do anything he can opposite to what God wants to do. And for a lot of us in this place, some of us have grown up in Christian households, but quite a few of us have found ourselves in the kingdom of God, and we've maybe lived quite a few years away from God. And as you live away from God, as you live a life maybe not in any way surrounded by the things of God and the wisdom of God, all sorts of things get attached and get a hook into your life. I grew up in a Christian household, and my parents were amazing parents. I got nothing to complain about. But realistically, I didn't actually become a devoted Christian until the age 21. Up until that point, you know, I went to church morning and night. You know, someone once said, just going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger, right? You've got to make, well, it can, you can start to look like one. But anyway, it's beside the point. But the reality is, just because you grow up in here, there's a lot of effect. And when I gave my life to the Lord, everything and all the prayers of my parents obviously had an effect on that. But it's about relationships, about commitment and connection to God. So man is, we're made up of three parts. I've got a visual for you. Bing. Man is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Let's go to the next one. There it is. I drew that myself. It's one cut above stick figures, right? Incredible graphics, don't you think? Could have centered it down a little bit now that I look at it. But anyway, you know, the world out there, the secular world, obviously they hone in around the two, body, flesh, you know, the gym, getting yourself right, eating right, nutrients in your body. The Bible says that is important. So we don't discount that. And myself and others included, we could spend some more time doing that. And then the world focuses on your soul, your emotions, your mindsets, and you can go to incredible motivational speakers that will challenge you to be your best. You can be your best now. You've probably heard that. And you can walk on coals of fire and all that sort of aiming itself at your mind and the way you think. But the world out there at large, and there is a large part of the world that does focus on this, but we know from a biblical perspective that there is three parts to who we are, and there is the spirit. And we're accountable for that side, the three parts of who we are. Not just our body, not just our mind, our soul, our emotions, and our will, but our spirit. When we allow ourselves to become Christians, what we actually do is we invite the Spirit of God to live inside of us, to center our lives. Every single person, according to the Word of God, not according to me, not according to some theory out there, but according to the Bible, the Word of God, which has in itself, which is a historical document, which has been tested and proven over thousands of years, according to the Bible, there you are inside of you. You have a spirit, and your spirit has an accountability. Your spirit is alive. And it's our spirit that one day will transcend this world and take us into our eternity. And from a biblical perspective, when you become a Christian, you invite Christ into your spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Christ's spirit becomes part of who you are. And your whole existence changes. The Word of God, for some of you in this place, this is basic, but I'm leading somewhere with this. Your whole existence changes. You actually get flipped on your head. Instead of your mind, your will, and your emotions driving who you are, we as believers suddenly have the Spirit of God inside of us, the real true Spirit of Christ that begins to drive and motivate and change who we are. Amen? Your identity becomes changed. That's why it's so powerful, so amazing when you become a Christian, because suddenly no matter where you're up to, no matter what's affected your mind, your emotions, your will, your body, your flesh, when you get the Spirit of Christ inside of you, there's like a reset. That's why we get called born again. Amen? The Spirit of God comes inside of us. No matter what's happened in your past, suddenly you are a completely different person. Creation, and the Bible says that we become new creations. Amen. You are instantly transformed from the inside out, and you become a new creation. You become something completely different. And for some of us, I remember at the age 21 when that happened to me. I remember lying in my bed after giving my life to Christ and just feeling the peace and feeling the contentment that this decision, this life brought into my life. And I know for some people in this room, you know, you grew up as a Christian, and this slowly, gradually, you're starting to understand what the Spirit of God is, and you didn't have a specific encounter, but like I did. But so this Spirit of Christ comes inside of us. But the reality is our flesh, our body, and our mind, our soul, and our emotions are still affected by the life that we've led. Amen? And so we go to the next slide. We can see that our lives can be cluttered. Next slide. No one in this room is perfect. Amen? Just because you become a Christian doesn't make you perfect. Just because you gave your life to Christ, there is a perfection to you. The only perfection you have is that you are perfect because of Jesus Christ's Spirit within you. Amen? He makes you perfect. But to mankind, to everyone else around you, you are still that same person. And if we've allowed all sorts of things that are contrary to God's plan and purpose and God's ways, if we've allowed them to be a part of our lives, then they do dig in hooks. They do actually take control of some areas in our lives. They do actually dictate how we respond and react and live our lives. Our lives are cluttered by a whole series of things. I just want to identify, here's some areas that I'm going to talk about, some ways that your soul is cluttered. Because life just actually has a way of getting its hooks into you. True? Amen? It's easy for us as just to think when we become a Christian, and I've seen this. I've worked as a new Christians pastor for a couple of years, and quite often people would come to God and expect everything just to be completely different. The fact is, you're different on the inside, but the Spirit of God takes time to work its purposes and allow your life to change. Is this true? So there's some things in your life that we're all a part of that have determined what has been attached to our soul, our emotions, our will. This is where the majority of the battle is. And the first one is our home environment. My wife's been doing some study in the social sciences. And I remember a couple of years ago, they talk about two areas that a human being is affected. One is nature and one is nurture. Nature is your personality, who you are. Nurture is your environment. Your environment, your household, how you grew up, your household now has a way of affecting how you react to things, how you respond. It affects your emotions, your household, your home life. Everyone in this place, I'm sure, would know that. Amen? If you've grown up in a Christian household like me, surely there's a sense of stability there and godliness. Absolutely. If you've grown up in a completely non-Christian environment where anything goes, obviously that's going to have an effect on your life. Amen? The second area that we're affected, our lives are affected, is our schooling, our friends, or our workplace. How many people know that? School has an effect. Amen? Who had a fantastic school life? It was just the best thing ever. Raise your hand. Okay. Honestly, there are some people that have a fantastic. Who had, by and large, if you looked at your school life and how it affected you, friends, peer group pressure, all sorts of things, it wasn't a good time. Raise your hand. The majority in the room. And I went to, this is my claim, my poor mum, I went to 14 schools. That's a lot of schools, right? Some of them for only a week or two. Went to a school in Germany. We moved countries. I went to a lot of schools. And you know, I remember I left, we at the age 13, which is quite a pivotal age, I think year 9, we left New Zealand, packed up, came to Australia, and we moved halfway through the year and arrived in a school called Pennant Hills High School. Beautiful school. Lovely place. I came from New Zealand and I spent 6 years in that school. But I tell you what, in high school, you don't have one classroom, right? You go from place to place. I can tell you, I spent 6 months in that school, not ever actually connecting or making a friend. Because of my accent or whatever, you know, I had in New Zealand, I got fashion chops and all that. All the New Zealand jokes, I got them all. You know, the sheep jokes, you name them. They all came at me. And I remember at lunchtimes, I was telling my wife this, I hadn't told her before, but I used to move around quickly so that no one would locate that I didn't have friends. So for 6 months, for whatever reason, part of it was my fault. I had to wear these New Zealand shoes called Nomads, and they didn't fit in with the Australian culture and all sorts of things. So I was a little bit defiant. But I just remember, you know what, that had an effect. And then my parents moved. We moved to Baulkham Hills, and I started afresh in a brand new school called Model Farms High School. Whereas a 13-year-old, I made a decision that I was going to do it differently. I wasn't going to spend 6 months being anonymous. I was going to make a name for myself. So, in my first PE classroom, I caused a fight. A guy said something to me, and I hit him. And then I made a decision at 13 that I was going to make, I was going to do something different. And that was what was in my head. And suddenly I ended up in a really bad group, got a bad name for myself. And it was a terrible time. I got brought home by the police a couple of times. All sorts of things went wrong. Simply because in that schooling time, I made a decision. Amen? Because that environment affected me. We're all affected by our environments, true? And at that stage, I can tell you, I wasn't a dedicated follower of Christ. And so I made decisions based on what I thought would be good. And then luckily year 11 and 12 came along and all my friends left, because all my friends were leaving at year 10. That's who they were. And I had a whole new group and it wasn't as bad. Amen? Praise God. Your environment has an effect on your life. And I've got 6 minutes. Number three, things done to us. I know in this room, there's all sorts of levels of what people are dealing with in this room. And I can't even perceive to be involved in knowing how it feels to be either abused or be a part of a situation, maybe domestic violence or abuse or abandonment or bullying or anything like that. But these are things that are done to you that affect, that the enemy constantly uses to get a hook into your soul, to get a hook into your emotions, to get a hook into your psyche, to change the way you react to situations so that you don't react normally. Maybe you find yourself reacting anger, you can't control it, or you withdraw, you run away, you hide, you can't be in public, you can't make close friends. There's so many things that your soul has been affected by these areas. And the last one is things we have done wrong. And in this room, once again, there's people here that are affected by failed relationships, by maybe things that they've perpetrated, things that they've been involved in. Maybe things that they haven't told anyone else about. There's plenty of things that the enemy will use to try and allow your emotions and your mind to always stray and go to places where God doesn't want you to go. The last one I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to spend much time on, but there are generational curses and bondages. And I want you to be open-minded. I'm going to talk about this later, not today. But there are some effects. I understand that when you become a Christian, that curses are broken. But sometimes they still, curses and things that your family's been involved in, they linger around your household. Amen? I wasn't a Christian until the age 21. My parents were Christians. But what my parents and their forefathers had been involved in, what they had allowed into our house, what become part of our generation. Amen? Weaknesses was still swirling around our household, amen? And those things were trying to get a hold of me before I gave my life to Christ, amen? So there's some things that we need to know as Christians and believers, but there is good news. So I'm going to finish on this. The love of God cleanses our soul. Next slide, please. And I am out of time. And if I need just... The plane's only just left the tarmac. So as we allow the love of God to fill our lives, see, this is how God wants to work. Can I be blunt? There are some amazing people out there that do their best to overcome deep things that have happened to them on the inside of their life. And they do it, they try and do it without the Spirit of Christ. But can I tell you, the greatest power for you to ever change your life is when you have the Spirit of Christ and you change yourself from the inside out. Are you with me? There is a power that's available to us, and the Spirit of Christ starts to actively, from the moment you get saved, God's purpose and plan, through the power of his love, he starts to instantly change you from the inside out. And everything that you read from his word, and every prayer that you pray, and every Christian that you meet, and every service that you come into is orchestrated around in God's incredible plan and purpose to bring you and set you free from the inside out. I can tell you, we've got an amazing counselor. We've got a psychologist in our center. With Mona, we run our own domestic violence center. But I can tell you this, that the greatest thing about our center up there, there's incredible men and women that love God, and that's where they operate out of that spirit of God. Amen? I love counseling. I love psychologists. They teach you how to repattern and relive your life and think a new way and a fresh way. But more than anything in this place, if you've got a life that needs to be set free, if you've got a life that's been completely and plagued by things that you've just been trying to deal with your whole life, can I tell you? The Spirit of Christ is the greatest way to change you from the inside out. I've seen the worst of the worst changed by the Spirit of Christ. Are you hearing me? We could parade up here all sorts of people that have allowed God to do an incredible work in their lives. There is no one in this earth that the Spirit of Christ can't work on and change. Amen? You know, the greatest revelation about this is you might be here living with your brokenness. Maybe you've got emotional. Maybe it's all sorts of areas in your life. But I remember, you know, when I came back to God, I'd done a whole bunch of really dumb things. You know, the most healing, the most amazing part of becoming a Christian is when I stood there one day and I knew that I was completely accepted before God because of his grace and his mercy. That if my heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, who is the holiest of holy, could accept me 100%, then I could start to accept myself and what I'd done wrong, and I could change. Amen? There was hope for me to change my life. Why don't we stand at our feet? I'm believing this series. We haven't even started. I'm believing to see some freedom in this place and in people's lives. And for God just to really minister to people. And maybe you've been caught up with stuff for a long time. I'm believing for people to get set freer from stuff that have just held them back for a long time. And it might spark some you going to some other areas like counseling and all sorts of things. But you know what? It's time to be free. Amen? Amen? Close your eyes. We're going to finish right now at this moment. We do this every week. We don't do this because it's a habit. We do this is because it's the most powerful part of our service. Every eye closed. And I want you to be completely, utterly selfish for just a moment. I want you to think about yourself and yourself alone. Because you know what? The Word of God says, not me, the Word of God says that one day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account of your life. And you'll be asked whether you chose life, eternal life, or death. And I want you for a moment just to realize that's a choice you need to make this side of eternity. And I want you just to focus on it for a moment. And maybe there's two people in this room. The first person is someone that's never consciously made a commitment to make Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior. They've never invited the Spirit of Christ to dwell within them. They've never consciously, or you've got doubt in your mind about whether you have or not. If you've got doubt, friend, then you need have no doubt, because when you invite the Spirit of Christ into you, The Word of God says that perfect love casts out all fear or doubt. You'll know that you know that you know that you are a believer, that you are a Christian, and the Spirit of Christ is in you. I want to pray for that person. The other person is someone you've made a decision in the past. But if you are honest with yourself, you know you've turned away and you've been walking away from that decision to honor and love and obey Christ. And you've been walking in the opposite direction completely. And you're what we call a backslider. And today is your time to turn around and acknowledge Christ and head back towards Him and make a recommitment to Him. So every eye closed. And every person just thinking about yourself, just for a moment. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you're a believer in this place, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're not a believer, you've never made a decision, or you're recommitting your life, I want you to pray this sincerely from your heart. So we're going to do this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept your forgiveness of my sins. And I accept your grace and your mercy over my life. I accept today that I'm a child of God, that I'm a Christian, which means Christ in me, that my name is written, as your Bible says, in the Lamb's Book of Life, that eternity is in my heart. I love you, Jesus. I give you my life. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Just close your eyes just a moment longer and then we'll finish. One moment longer. Every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer as the first time or a rededication, just lift your hand. Come on. Rededication. Awesome. Anyone else? Come on. People hold. Someone down the front here. Anyone else? Raise that hand. Rededication or the first time you prayed that prayer, just raise it. Spirit of God. Okay. Everyone look this way. It's a great lady that raised her hand. We're going to have a chat with her afterwards. Can I pray for you before you leave? I know we're going over, so we're not going to have any music or anything. We're just going to close. But just close your eyes. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your Spirit that is in this place and your Spirit that is in your people. God, what the enemy is meant for evil, your promise is that you will turn around and use for good. And God, I speak freedom and I speak life over every individual here as we get a hold of your word, as we allow you to bring change into our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the hope of our future, that our future is bright because of your presence and your power and your Spirit. And with you, nothing is impossible. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, why don't we give the Lord a hand this morning? Come on. Well, that's it. If you're new or visiting with us, we'd love to meet you straight through there for a cafe latte or a cappuccino. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. We've got life groups on this week. Make sure you're a part of that right across the life of the church. Or our New Christians Bible Study, meet upstairs in our office today, this afternoon.